Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Karina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. I welcome you all around the world, wherever you might be listening to us. Although this teaching is specifically targeted to the Word of Life Bible College students, we are giving a lecture on Blog Talk Radio and posting it on their teaching thread, lecture thread, in the Word of Life Bible College School, which is taken online. Firstly, we'd like to thank all the students who have enrolled with us in this year, 2016. We have students in England, Jillian. We have students in Zambia. We have students in Tanzania. We have students in Uganda, Zambia, and South Africa, here in the United States of America. I welcome all the students. Can go through by name. We have a number of them, Gary. We have a number of them, Precious, who have been studying with us there in Zambia. We have our dear beloved senior class prefect there in Zambia. We have also our dear brother Sinanji. We have Deborah Nampemba there in Zambia. We have, like I said, Jillian in the UK. And we have here Astrida in New York. And we have a number of other students, Oyi from Tanzania, and our dear brother from Uganda. And so it's a pleasure for me and my wife to come to you and share in the teachings of the Word of Life Bible College. We appreciate your standing strong since we began this school. You are the first batch of students at Word of Life Bible College here in the United States of America and around the world to study with us. As you know, the Word of Life Bible College was initially instituted in Zambia by me as the founder, together with the leadership and elders of the Pentecostal Believers Church of God, Zambia, Incorporated. The school was initially launched in 1989. So it had run for almost 10 years until the time I came to the United States. Then here we looked for opportune time to start the school. So we began with this online school, and eventually we have a foresight to have an actual school, a building where students can sit in a class, and then eventually maybe we have resident students who can even stay on campus. We've been believing God for property, buildings that can be given to us for use for lecture classes, for the offices of the president and the director of admissions, dean of students and academic dean, and various professors that will be teaching at this particular school, the Word of Life Bible College. The Word of Life Bible College, in the meantime, runs under the auspices of the Word of Life Bible Church Fellowship International, which is fully registered with the state of Texas, and we're looking forward eventually to register the school by itself as an independent entity as we go on. The students of this year will be graduating on May the 17th, 2017, and we're planning to hold the graduation ceremony here in Dallas by God's grace, and also in Zambia, Lusaka, in the capital city of Zambia. Students have indicated that they can make it to the United States of America, here in Dallas. We're going to send them formal invitations to come to this graduation to enable them to obtain the necessary documentation to travel to the United States and graduate. We have venues in mind, like the Embassy Suites Hotel. We have other properties of our friends who are ministers, who have church buildings, where we can go and hold our ceremony. But everything said and done, we give God the glory for sustaining the school. We had professors in Zambia who helped us at the school. Although they haven't been that much active, we are working on getting more professors that can give themselves to teaching at this school. In the meantime, we do our best. My wife and I, as initiators of this school, and also ever guests that we can get to come and teach. You know, like in Zambia, I taught most of the time. We had Pastor Jen, who taught also in the Bible school. Then we had lecturers who taught by video, because Bob Tutton had a satellite school, so he gave me over 100 videos with different lecturers, like Charles Nieman, T.L. Osborne, Bob Tutton himself. We had other teachers like a brother pastor from South Africa who taught on the Blood Covenant. We had various ministers, powerful ministers, who gave strong teachings in the Bible college, like Charles Capps. He taught on faith. Kenneth Aggies on faith, and many other lecturers. Also, we have a curricula. Our school is divided in three semesters. We have the first semester, following the format here in the United States. The schools and the colleges commence in the fall of each year, and then graduation is in April, in the spring. Our school started in January, and so our students will finish their courses in December, but graduation is going to be on hold until April or May the 17th. That's when they graduate. In the meantime, we are recruiting students for the year 2017, and we are introducing a second year class, the Associate of Arts degree program. The cost of studies, as initially set for this school, we put it at $600. I remember myself, I did long distance learning with Rhema when I was in Africa, and I paid $600, but I did it for 3 years of study. 3 years of study, $600. So we thought $600 should be able to afford each and every student the needed material for them to study, give us enough finances to buy airtime like we are doing, also to get material stuff that we need. Eventually, things like transcripts and diplomas and final graduation, you know, ABCDs of graduation, they need money. We need money. And so we've been trusting the Lord to touch students and to have partners that can give themselves to the ministry. Having said that, Word of Life Bible School students, we are proud of you that you have stood your ground since January up to this time studying online. You are on Messenger as we post teachings to you. You receive teaching sometimes by email. You receive teaching sometimes by voicemail. And your diligence will be rewarded by the Lord. So at this time, you know, we've done a lot of subjects. We've studied the First and Second Thessalonians. We have gone through the book of Genesis. We have gone and studied the book of Romans. We have gone through the New Testament survey, which you did with our lecturer in Zambia. Then we did the book of John, you did the Gospel of John with me, and then you tackled I went with you in a little bit of the introduction to the New Testament. So now I'd like us to look very closely on to this book of Hebrews. You remember we did a study on angels with a textbook used from Professor Wayne Grudem, who is a professor in Arizona, Phoenix, Arizona. And we learned a lot on the angelic life. The book of Hebrews, as you know, my wife and I will be sharing next time. She'll be taking part. We read, I read. We make a comment, she makes a comment. But today, I'm just going to introduce this to you as we did already. I've done so through the thread I have with you on Messenger and the various teachings I gave you on voicemail. The book of Hebrews, like I said before, initially, theologians did not know who wrote the book of Hebrews. By the way, I'm a professor of systematic theology at the Word of Life Bible College, and my wife also is a lecturer, too, at the Word of Life Bible College. She's also director of admissions. I'm the president, founder and president of the Word of Life Bible College. Right. Like I was saying, the book of Hebrews, theologians tussled to and fro because they could not find the author to the book of the book of Hebrews. But like I said through my lectures, that the style of writing, the way the wording is done, and the way the setting of the arguments in the book, the style really matched that of the great Apostle Paul. So a great number of theologians agreed over the years and said this book was actually penned by the Apostle Paul. Now, in some translations, you will get the introduction as follows. The Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. But in some other translations, you might just get, it will just say the book of Hebrews. Now, we see here that the Apostle Paul, his main theme is to get the Jews, who were his kith and kin, his brothers and sisters, because he was a Jew. You remember he had focused his ministry to the Jews, but when they became very stubborn, he said, away with the Jews and we are going to the Gentiles. In actual fact, he was an apostle to the Gentiles, called by the Lord to the Gentiles. Gentiles simply means those who are not Jews. And so his ministry spread to Thessalonica, to Corinth, to Philippi, to Ephesus, to Galatia. All these were countries and cities in the Mediterranean world which were non-Jew. Yeah, he penned a strong treatise or letter or epistle to the Romans, who, as you know, at the time of Jesus, the Romans had ruled Palestine. The Jewish people were under the bondage of the Roman government. And so in his arguments, the Apostle Paul wants to show without any shadow of a doubt that this Jesus Christ, who had been crucified, was actually the Son of God. Not only was he the Son of God, but the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Now, as you know, traditionally speaking, the Jews were looking for another Messiah, not really Jesus. Like I've said in some of my lectures to you, they were looking at people like Abraham, Elijah maybe, you know, and Enoch and all these other prophets that were in Israel. They were looking for a Messiah to come. When Jesus came, born in Bethlehem, born in a manger, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary, and his father, earthly father, Joseph, was a carpenter by trade, they stumbled over the humble beginnings of the Messiah. They missed him. They thought, this Messiah must drop somehow from heaven, do spectacular things as he comes down from heaven to manifest himself on the earth. But they were wrong. Jesus was born in Bethlehem, grew up in Nazareth. That's why we say Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Son of the Living God. But you see, in the simplicity of things, the way God raises up ministry, it's very easy for you to stumble over it if you're not listening to the Holy Ghost. Just like the ministry of Jesus was rejected by the Jews who did not comprehend that he was actually the Savior of the world. So are the ministries that God has raised up in these latter days, that people are going to stumble over them and think, hey, what can come out of Nazareth? I remember preaching a message here on Blog Talk Radio on what can come out of Nazareth. You see, people look at the ministers that God has raised. They are so familiar with them. They have known them grow. They know where they were born. They know how they grew up. To them, they look at them like these people cannot be anointed. That was the problem with the Jewish nation. They looked at Jesus, who were so familiar with the family. They knew them. He grew up in Nazareth. They knew his father being a carpenter. He was of the stock of Judah. But he was there, not a millionaire, but of a very humble beginning, poor as it were. Even when he was being weaned and dedicated in the temple in Jerusalem, he was dedicated with the tatter doves, a symbol of total poverty. You know, people with money used other means and greater things of sacrifice, like the bull or a goat or something. But Jesus was dedicated using some tatter doves, which were really given by people who did have no means to, bring up the needed expensive stuff. But here Paul comes and tells them that this same Jesus they have neglected. They looked upon as being a carpenter's son and thinking he cannot be anointed and he cannot be God. Mind you, because Jesus said he was God or equal with God, that's why they killed him. You see, he did the miracle. They had seen miracles. Elijah had done miracles. They had seen, different prophets. Elisha, he remember the mantle fell upon him. He said, where now is the Lord God of Elijah? And he did twice the miracles that Elijah had actually done, because he had asked for a double portion of the spirit that was upon Elijah. So they were not like they didn't know about the miracle working power of God, because they saw it. They saw it in Samson himself, who through his mighty power could lift up gates up on his shoulders and take them up to the mountains. Samson would tie the tails of foxes and cause them to go into the village and burn up the village because of some people who tried to trap him up with his concubine, whatever you might call a concubine. But you see, this Jesus was different. It was not like all these other prophets. That's why now Paul took pains to explain that this Jesus is greater than Moses. See, because the children of Israel looked at Moses being the authority over the word of God, over the children of God. But Paul brought to their attention that this Jesus is greater than Moses, is greater than the angels themselves. See, they had high respect of angels. They reverenced angels to the extent that angels, you know, demanded that they be not worshipped. Excuse me. But you see, the people had so much high regard for angels that they put angels on a special pedestal. So Paul was telling them, this Jesus is greater and superior to angels. He's greater than Aaron, the high priest, greater than any priest you can ever think of, or any prophet. As Moses, you know, stood in the office of a prophet, as it were. But Paul was bringing to clarity that this Jesus is actually the Word of God. He said, this is, in actual fact, when you read the scriptures, let's read the introduction to the book of Hebrews. Verse 1 of chapter number 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You see, Paul is telling them that this God has spoken through his Son. And he says, through whom he made the worlds. Now, this was can be taken as a surprise to many of the Jews who had demeaned the position of Jesus. But Paul is telling them that the worlds were created through him. Now, according to Dex, when you look at his summary of the book of Hebrews, he says, date and place. Written from Rome about 68 AD, along with Galatians and 2 Timothy. Author, arguments for Paul authorship are, number one, the thought and reasoning are Paul's. Any difference in style is due to his willing, is due to his writing to Jews as a Jew, and not to Gentile churches as in other epistles. Furthermore, the translation of the book into Greek by Luke may account for some change in style. Point number two, Peter confirms the fact that Paul wrote an epistle to the Jews, 2 Peter 3, verse number 15 to 16. Point number three, arguments for Paul being the author. The book of Hebrews is ascribed to him by over 100 ancient writers in both Greek and Latin from 70 to 730 AD. AD means in the year of our Lord. Point number four. It was received as Paul's by the Council of Laodicea in 63 AD, by the Council of Carthage in 397 AD, by the Syrian churches in 370 AD, and generally by the Greeks and Eastern churches from the earliest centuries. Point number five, Paul is named as the author in the Alexandrian manuscripts of 500 AD. Point number six, some Latin churches questioned only because Paul's name is not used in the introduction as in all his other epistles, but this was for two reasons. One, Eusebius, the father of church history, explains that Paul wrote the epistle in Hebrew leaving his name off so that it would be read and received more readily by Jews who hated him and would not want to listen to anything he had to say. Luke translated it into Greek, hence it is similar to Acts in expression. See the Antonisi Fathers, Volume 2, page 579. Now, in the oldest manuscripts, the epistle follows Galatians with the title to the Hebrews, indicating that it was part of the Galatian letter. If this be true, the authorship started in Galatians 1 verse 1 applies to both books. This would explain why Paul speaks of Galatians as a large letter in Galatians 6 verse 11. The Israel of God of Galatians 6:16 would be a reduction to the book of Hebrews 1 in the brackets. Both books argue at length on the abolishment of the Old Covenant. 2. Both anticipate the visit of the writer, Galatians 4:20 and Hebrews 13:19. Point number 3. Paul was the only writer of the New Testament who requested prayer for himself. Cross-reference you see there in Hebrews 13:18 with a note on 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Many exhortations in Hebrews are similar to those of other epistles of Paul. Now, you see, this is Dex bringing forth an argument for the authorship of Paul. Like I said, the style of writing, the things. He had left his name, according to Dex, he said he left his name deliberately because the Jews did not like Paul. You know, he was a Benjamite. That's what he said. Hebrew of Hebrews. But they didn't like Paul. They wanted to kill him. You know, he was lowered in a basket as he fled Jerusalem, as people took vows. They couldn't eat until they killed Paul. You see, ministry can be mysterious. It's not all the time that our names should be on placards and attached to buildings and all that stuff. Sometimes we could be incognito. Like they say, when you go do emails or reading stuff, they say, do you want to be incognito? Incognito? Whereby they can't trace who you are. It's not all the time that we should receive acclaim for things that are done. The Apostle Paul left his name out when he wrote this mighty epistle to the Hebrews. He was trying to woo his own blood, kith and kin, the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, to come to Jesus, not to overlook him and to neglect the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But you know, many times in our days, we want to put our names on everything. This so, and we put a big placard over our office building. You know, we want to be known. There's nothing wrong with being known as long as we do it with humility. See, Oral Roberts built the Oral Roberts University. His name has remained on the university. He's gone on to be with the Lord. That's not pride. It's a work that you have done. I use Mwamba World Outreach. I follow after Archbishop Idahosa, who used the Idahosa World Outreach. And I said, oh, my last name, Mwamba, would be a World Outreach too. It's not pride. I'm just trying to identify my personal ministry. Well, this is Professor Lawrence Mwamba, of the Word of Life Bible Church Fellowship International and President of the Word of Life Bible College. I'm signing off here in Dallas and assuring you students so that I'll be talking to you soon. Take your notes. and we shall progress with the study in the book of Hebrews. God bless you. We'll talk to you again, and bye-bye.